Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Carver High and Mafia, Mike Carver, Brian Ciano in for Scotty tonight. He is on vacation. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved as we are here with you on a Tuesday night. And actually, Mafia, a no sports night. I mean, kind of, like, unless you're involved in the MLS playoffs. We do have that going on, Mavi, if I can entice you into jumping in on a live bet.
There is
soccer going on, believe it or not. In fact, about to be a big upset, believe it or not, in this game, which is crazy. And there's a Seattle LAFC game coming up right after it. So if you want to get involved in a late night MLS game, Mavi, I do have that for you. The eighth seeded New England team is about to eliminate Philadelphia, who was the top seed in the Eastern Conference. So I got you rushed up on the MLS playoffs now, Mafia. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you as well. I mean, if the Sounders are going to play, I get in on that. I went out and watched a game when I was out there last year. I could go grab my scarf, my Sounders scarf, and rock that for this show. I'm all in.
Listen, this is what's crazy about the MLS playoffs, and we've got a lot to do tonight. We're going to talk about the new, the first college football playoff rankings is out. As usual, there's a lot of things that people are nitpicking about the committee, most of which I don't believe they don't even watch the games. But and some of these, the way they rank these teams actually shows that they don't. We've got that. We've got Turkey Day NFL coming up just in a couple days. Thanksgiving on Thursday, three games to look at, including a bunch of good games this weekend as well. We've got some NBA news. We've got this MLS playoff game. So here we go on a night for Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia are going to be in the mix with you. If you want to get involved, 844-843-6879. We will kick it off, Mafia, when we come back with this college football playoff ranking. Farrell on the bench gets going right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved as we get going here on a Tuesday night, hour number one. And we definitely have to start with the college football playoff. The first rankings come out tonight. And Mafia, I feel like every year we have the same talk with Scotty when these rankings come out. And everybody gets nuts. And they overreact. You know, there's what, like four more games, five more games left before we're going to get to the final one. I think it's, you know, for most teams, it's four. There can be some overreaction, but we've been waiting for this, so you have to dive into it. There's a lot of things to talk about. There's a bunch of storylines. The top four, you've got Cincinnati at number seven. Northwestern's pretty high. I think the poll gets a little silly around nine, having Georgia in there with two losses and Oklahoma and Iowa State. BYU, of course, is going to be a real trendy story with them being all the way down at number 14. But usually, Mafia, there is a lot of overreaction to the very first college football playoff ranking, these guys and gals that sit in the room and actually put this thing together.
Yeah, obviously there always is, especially when it's not your team. That's where you think they should be. That's where everyone gets all worked up. I think especially this year, like, people need to just take a chill pill. I mean, there's no way, you know, because you see all these stories, they break down. It's like, well, they put BYU at 14, and then, you know, no team has ever come from outside of 12 to get into the, you know, the New Year's 6, let alone. It's like, dude, this isn't a normal year. Like, this is COVID. Right. This is 2020. Anything can happen. Like, sure, it's unlikely they're going to get up there because, as you know, you pointed out and we talked about many times, they have no one left to play. And then when Washington tried to throw them a bone, like, hey, you know what? Maybe not. So, yeah, they're probably not getting up there. But still, I wouldn't put any team out or any team, you know, is saying that, oh, well, they're in this position, so there's no way you can. Like, you have all those Pac-12 teams down deep because they barely played any games. This year, among all years that this has ever been created, throw everything out the window. Just because of what happened in the past doesn't mean it can't happen this year.
No, it's true. And I've already seen some trends, like silly things, like, you know, the last 4 years, the team that was ranked number two in the first ranking ended up winning the national title. Well, that's great. I mean, if you're a Notre Dame fan, that sounds awesome. I also saw another one said that the team that's in number three in the first college football ranking has never made it to the playoff, ever. In the I think this is the sixth or seventh year that they're doing this. So that would sound bad for Clemson. But, you know, those things, it's a hard trend to go by.
Well, we know that's going to happen. They're definitely going to get left out because that damn Florida State not playing that game. Dabo's mad because that's going to keep him out.
Yes, and that'll get Dabo even more upset with Florida State for not playing that game. But they're going to get their chance. They're going to play Notre Dame again. You know, they're and if they beat Notre Dame a second time, it from the top of it, Mafia, we'll start there. It's pretty easy when you look at what the path is for these teams to get in. And there's only a couple teams that have a legitimate path to be in this playoff. For Alabama, it's obviously they're going to win. They're going to get in. In fact, they could probably lose to Florida in the SEC title game, and they would still get in based on how this looks right now. Notre Dame, same deal. If they win all their games, they're going to get in. If they lose a close game to Clemson in the ACC title game, you know, I think they should still get in over Texas A&M. I mean, Texas A&M is five right now. I saw one of the, you know, the big talking heads tweet tonight. Well, you know, they're in the best position because, you know, they don't really have anybody else to play and they're sitting at five. And, you know, and when Clemson beats Notre Dame, you know, they're going to fall back and Texas A&M is going to be there to fill the slot. Why? Who they play? I mean, okay, they beat Florida. They got absolutely destroyed by Alabama. Why would Texas A&M have a credence to be in the top four over Notre Dame, who, yes, they beat Clemson. I get Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. But I think even without Lawrence, that's a better win than just beating Florida.
Yeah, with you 100% there. I don't think that, you know, any of those teams, I mean, I know they have that SEC love and they favorite them so hard. It's not even funny how badly they love the SEC and salivate over them. And given that they were one of the teams that started this season and, you know, pretty much playing their whole schedule, sure, they're probably going to give an extra push. But I just really, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, I don't see how they get in. I don't think they should. I can see how, because the committee is a bunch of two-faced jerks. But I don't think they should. You know, they're not going to make it through Alabama, any of those teams. And some of them already got smashed by Alabama. So there's no way they should be allowed in. I think in my mind, looking at that, it should be the top four have a clear path if they win out. And even like you said, if Notre Dame plays Clemson again and they lose a close one, well, then they split and they prove that they're both great teams. I think those top four should stay the same if they win every game, except for obviously Notre Dame, Clemson, one of them has to lose. If Clemson loses the second one, then yes, you have to drop them out. If they have Trevor Lawrence, right, they have everyone back and Notre Dame still beats them, then you have to kick them out. Otherwise, that top four should stay the same to me.
And I think, Mafia, that that's going to be the scenario if Notre Dame beat Clemson for a second time. Now, this is all, remember, guys, this is all hypothetical, because Notre Dame has a very tough game in Chapel Hill on Friday against the Tar Heels. Like, they could theoretically lose that game and this whole thing will get thrown to bits. So we're going on the basis that these teams can get to the end, to their big game. And if Notre Dame did beat Clemson in that second game, I actually think, Mafia, that, and let's say everything else holds serve, Alabama beats Florida, so that'll knock them down. Maybe, Mafia, that's the path, or the one path, that Cincinnati is going to have, because they're at 7. It's the highest a group of 5 team has ever been in the first college football playoff ranking. It seems like the committee respects Cincinnati to put them this high in the first one. The committee chair mentioned how they thought their wins over SMU and UCF were really good wins. They like defense. It seems like the Cincinnati path to somehow crash the party would be Notre Dame beating Clemson for that second time and pushing them to the side, Bama and Ohio State moving on. And then you're going to get down to, does an undefeated Cincinnati, is that better than Texas A&M's one loss where they got absolutely hammered by Alabama?
Is it? Yes. Will the committee still do that? No.
They love the
SEC. You can say only once, you know, oh, we love them. They always love them. They always put someone, you know, not obviously this high, but they'll talk them up and talk how great they are, how impressive their runs and blah, 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 blah. And then it comes down to the last 2 weeks and all of a sudden they're sitting at 8, 7, 10. They're not going to put them up there. There's no way, especially, you know, the last two games are against Temple, who's been atrocious this year. And then sure, they're against Tulsa, who's 25th, but in any other year would not be 25th. They wouldn't even be, you know, in the others mentioned. So this is a situation where they're going to talk up Cincinnati right now because they're undefeated and they can't put them lower, but they're going to find a way to shaft them because they always put those teams down, whether it was Boise, whether it was, you know, Cincinnati, whether it was UCF. They'll find a way to get that group of five team and give them a nice little bowl game on New Year's Eve and nothing else.
No, you're right. I don't think that they would ever legitimately put any of these teams in these games, but and we'll get to the BYU. We'll save the BYU stuff for the next segment. We'll finish off Cincinnati here. I saw a couple of the big college football writers. I forget which one or two it was off the top of my head tonight after these rankings come out, say, if you were BYU and Cincinnati, get each other on the phone tonight and just go and play the game. Figure it out between now and December 19th. Schedule that game. Cincinnati, BYU, they both need the game. Now, Cincinnati might sit there and say, maybe we don't. If all these things we're talking about, maybe Texas A&M loses another game. Florida loses to Alabama. Notre Dame sweeps Clemson. Maybe we'll fall into it, but why leave yourself that out? Why not get together and schedule this non-conference game that could be so big for the both of you? I think Cincinnati still needs it. They need another game like playing a BYU, Mafia. That would be a smart move for Cincinnati to do.
I agree 100%. December 5th. They got November 28th. They got December 12th. December 5th. Play those teams together. You know, BYU's sitting around for the next like 5 weeks. You know, we've heard about how they have these open dates. You got an open date right there for Cincinnati. Get that game locked in if either of you want to have a chance, because otherwise you have no chance. I don't care what they said about you, how much they like you, how good your defense is. They're going to find a way to shaft you unless you knock one or the other off.
And to clean up here the top five or six slots, I did like that they put Clemson ahead of Ohio State for now, because Ohio State's played less games and they had to struggle to beat Indiana. Struggle. You know, it was a close game with Indiana on Saturday. I like that they've got Clemson ahead of Ohio State for the time being. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We're going to keep rolling here with some more college football playoff. We'll get to BYU and some other things. The bench keeps rolling right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. Let's go to the phones right now. We're going to pick back up the college football playoff talk, but we do got to go out. Kevin in Chicago joining me and Mafia on the bench. Kevin, what's up, my man?
What's going on? I just got to call and talk about the Saints and Taysom Hill and the kind of the reaction to him getting the start and him delivering, getting the win, playing pretty well. Just kind of ridiculous, the reaction. You would think Jameis Winston was a prime Peyton Manning or something. Like, he was getting robbed, or they're trying to make it some social justice issue. I'm glad Taysom Hill came in there, shut him up, proved him wrong, played well. And I like the Saints' chances. They do everything right. So what's your thoughts on that, kind of the media reaction to Hill getting the start of Winston, and him playing well, getting the win, and now having to eat their words? Everyone's saying, oh, Jameis Winston should have started. That's ridiculous. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, Kev, for the call. You're right, and a lot of people last week were doing the whole, well, he's not a conventional quarterback. He's been a gadget player. Why don't you start? I know that Winston throws a ton of picks, but, you know, he is a quarterback. Most people don't consider Taysom Hill a quarterback, and a lot of them really did have to eat their words after Sunday's performance. And in Mafia, we spent some time on this on yesterday's show. The question will be going forward, will they be able to do that every week, be able to mix in the type of game plan that they ran with Hill, running the football, throwing the football the way that he did? Is that going to be something that teams will pick up on fast, or is Hill going to be able to continue to, you know, really, they were also playing the Falcons. Not a great defense. I think they going to have a harder time in Denver this Sunday than they did at home against the Falcons. I'm interested to see it. But I thought, Mafia, that he played a lot better than I thought he was going to, quarterback-wise, standing in the pocket and throwing the ball. I knew he could run and be the gadget-type player. The standing in the pocket throwing impressed me, Maf. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it was very good start for him. It was, you know, great first start. It was a nice win for him. It was a good thing for him to get that under his belt, and, you know, have that forever. But like you said, we'll have to see how that progresses as the weeks go on. Now that they have tape on it, now that they're playing a good defense in Denver, you know, it's very similar to, I think, in a way, to what we saw the first couple weeks of Cam Newton, who obviously has a much bigger, you know, record there of what he can do and how great he can be. Well, first week, it was like, okay, well, he's just beating everybody with his legs and running the ball like crazy. Then we're like, oh, he can't throw it. Then he came out that next week against Seattle and threw it all over the field, and they lost the game, but it was a great performance by him. And we're like, all right, well, he's back, and, you know, he's perfect in this offense, and they should sign him right now before he's going to cost them more money. And then it's just falling apart as the weeks have gone on, and people have started to, you know, figure it out. Obviously, he's injuries around him with the receiving core and things like that. Obviously, you know, there's questions about if he's right. And I'm not saying that Taysom Hill is going to have the same issues per se, but you can have a couple weeks where you just surprise everybody and catch him and, you know, play great. And then the league starts to catch up to you. So he played great in this one. He had some mistakes that didn't cost him. In the coming weeks against a better team, against a Denver or against some of these other teams, it might cost him. And then all of a sudden it might be a performance where say, ooh, man, that was an aberration. That, you know, what he did in that first week, that's not what we're seeing now. And let's not forget, too, like, he's not doing this the rest of the season as far as they're concerned. Drew Brees is supposed to be back in 2 weeks after this. Maybe takes a little longer because he's older and those ribs take longer to heal, but they're expecting Brees to come back and they're expecting to play Brees when he does come back. So how far they can go might not be, well, on Taysom Hill's shoulder or on his legs. It might be on 40-year-old Drew Brees and his arm and his ribs and all these other things that he's got going on. And, you know, Hill could be great for the next 3-4 weeks, and then it all gets tossed out the window once Brees comes back and they stink again.
No, it's true. But don't worry, he's going to be back in 3 weeks, right, Mafia? Because you recover from 11 fractured ribs and a collapsed lung very quickly. So,
oh, yeah, easy peasy.
You don't have to worry. You only got 2 more weeks of him because apparently it's a 3-week injury, 11 cracked ribs and a collapsed lung. So
it's like a stub toe.
Yeah, exactly. No problem at all. Brees will be back in no time. I do think that they're going to need that Brees. They're going to need Brees fully healthy when we get to January, and I'm sure at some point tonight we'll bring up the mess that is the NFC and where are we going to find some value. And really right now is anybody's conference to win. There's no question. There's a bunch of teams that are 5-1. The Saints have a little bit of an edge over everybody else, but with the Rams beating the Bucks last night and some of the other things that we saw from the Packers on Sunday, there are definitely some openings in the NFC. And the Saints, if Brees is healthy, probably are the best of the bunch. We'll see how it goes with them. We'll get back to this college football playoff now, Mafia. And our guy Matt in the chat, in the church, actually brings up a great point, and it's always so true. Whenever we have the governor, Tim Brando, on with Scotty, he brings it up every time. The college football playoff, the committee caters to the big-name teams. You know, they always do. Beauty contest with zero transparency. Brando says that all the time. And Mafia, all you have to do is look at this mess. Now, fine, they put Cincinnati at 7. I get it. Georgia has 2 losses, and they're at 9. They are not winning. They do not belong anywhere near any college football playoff. Okay, this is what this is supposed to be. This is the college football playoff, not who plays in the best conference, who has the best roster, who has the best recruits. It's who are the teams most deserving of being in the college football playoff. Georgia has lost 2 games to Alabama and to Florida, and they didn't just lose them, Mafia. They lost them in a big way. They got blown out in the second half in both games. Oklahoma has 2 losses. Iowa State has 2 losses. I don't have as big a problem with Miami being there at 10. They have 1 loss. They didn't get hammered by Clemson. You know, but how are these teams? I'll take Indiana. Indiana has 12. How is Oklahoma and Georgia ahead of Indiana? Are they doing the same thing they did to Ohio State? Are they punishing them for not playing as many games so far? Because isn't it supposed to be about getting the best 4 most deserving teams from that college football season into the playoff? Isn't that what it's about, Mafia? Or is it just about getting the biggest name schools? Come on.
That's never what it's been about. That's not what the BCS is about. That's not what the playoff system is about. It's about money. They can say it all they want, dress it up all they want about how it's best, you know, for getting the best teams and blah, 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 blah. It's about money.
Yeah.
Cash rules everything around me. Wu-Tang said it. And especially this year, because guess what? All those bowl games in, you know, Iowa or Indiana or wherever, where you're sitting a bunch of people there for some game no one cares about, they're not happening. You know, how many of these bowl games are you actually getting people in the stands for? It's all about the money they make off of this. And the only way they're going to make money is ratings and commercials this year, because you're not going to get the huge crowds at these games. You might get some crowds at some stadiums, but you're not packing the stadiums like you do every year. So the only way you're making it is in TV revenue and in ad revenue. And the only way you're doing that is if you put Alabama and Georgia and Florida and some of these other teams in there. You know, you're not putting Cincinnati and Northwestern in there. No one cares about them. No one's going to watch them. You're not even going to put Indiana in there. I mean, most people can't even tell you where Northwestern, they'll confuse Northwestern and Northeastern. They don't know the differences between two schools. They're not putting them in there, even if they went outright. They're going to do everything they can to put the big names that are going to bring in the big avenue, you know, the big viewership and the big revenue, because they need to save their butts right now because they've lost a ton of money.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And it shows you just by looking at this list, because, and I love that BYU is 14, like because of the Washington thing. And the fact that they did the whole any team, anytime, any place tweet on Saturday and then refused to play Washington. And then the coach, they had him on ESPN Mafia after the rankings came out. And the coach's quotes were great. You know, he said, "I don't want to get into specifics of why the game against Washington wasn't being played. You don't want to get into specifics. You need to play the game, my man. Like, you need to play Washington. You need to get on the phone with Cincinnati. Wisconsin got canceled this week. I know the Big Ten's not allowing it, and I wish they did. Get on the phone with them. Like, you need to play games. I don't care. You've beaten nobody. Little Sisters of the Poor you've played so far." And then even the Boise State, the committee chair even brought up tonight, they played Boise State, and Boise State's quarterback was hurt, which then in turn the BYU coach had to come out tonight and say, "Well, the quarterback doesn't play defense last time I checked." This guy's got a little edgy here tonight after his team got slotted at 14. I love that they did it, Mafia, but they probably shouldn't be behind two lost teams like Georgia, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. Like they probably shouldn't be behind those teams as much as I love the fact that they're 14th.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And I mean, the more you read about these things with how the Pac-12 is doing things, the more it's like, all right, I can understand possibly why they didn't make that game, because, you know, there's things about how, you know, basically the Pac-12, they can schedule these other games at a conference, but if all of a sudden one of your conference opponents is clear to play, you know, you got to play them. And whoever you were right. scheduled, well, you know, tough cookies, you're out. Like, you can wait all of a sudden Thursday, you know, Washington could have Washington State get cleared, or some, you know, Arizona State or some of these other schools that all of a sudden become available. And the Pac-12 says, well, you're playing them, and see you later, BYU. We don't care about you. So, yeah, that's a risk, and you don't want to do that. And, you know, all the prep that you put in, things like, you know, short prep, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But too bad. You're in a situation where you need that. You need to take that risk. I don't care what it is. If you want to be in the playoff, you need to put yourself out there, because you're not in a situation that's good enough for that. And I love your idea of them playing Cincinnati, or, you know, that's something that should happen every year. You know, it's not going right. to necessarily with a four, but when it gets to eight and you're going to have, you know, more automatic slots, like all these group of five teams, I don't care about your conference champions. Those don't matter to me. Don't play those stupid games. The last week of the season, you should have your own little playoff. Well, last 2 weeks where the best teams from those conferences play each other, so you get one automatic qualifier once they expand this to eight, because otherwise, even when they do that, you're not getting in.
Yeah, you're going to need a mini playoff between these group of five teams. If they ever go to eight, I want this group of five teams to have an automatic slot, but you're right. There's going to have to be like a mini like four-team tournament between the four best to get there. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep it rolling right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. And Mafia, you were just kind of talking about it, and I'm starting to see some tweets about it now. The Utah-Arizona State game has been canceled for this weekend. So now it looks like the Pac-12 is going to, by tomorrow, announce that Washington is going to play Utah now this weekend, since both of their games got COVID-related cancels by the other team. Now, that begs the question, was the reason that BYU didn't want to play or commit to playing Washington is because Washington probably told them, listen, we want to play, but if another game in our conference gets whacked, we're going to have to play that game if the conference tells us to. And BYU maybe was keeping their options open if something else came up that they could play. They wanted to definitely play a game. But I feel, Mafia, that even if they take the game and Washington ends up backing out because they're forced to play their Pac-12 game, they still look better if they don't play the game and they at least agreed to than now, where it kind of looks like they were running from the game.
Right. And it's still, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Like, yeah, right. It would stink if they backed out on you, but too bad. You know, it's like the hot friend telling you, well, I don't want to try to date you because I, you know, could ruin our friendship. No, you take the shot. Forget that. I don't want to be your friend anymore. Like, you try to be the boyfriend. You don't sit there and say, you know what? You're right. Well, you know, we're going to just sit back here and pine over you and whine that we don't get enough respect and you go with all these jerks. Like, that's BYU right now. They're sitting there being like, no one likes us. Why do you always take all these other guys and you don't like us? No. If you want to do it, you got to take your shot, man. You can't sit back there in the safe zone. You got to say, let's go. You want to say we'll take any comers? Then you take any comers, even if they're not going to fully commit to you.
No, it's so true. And that's what they needed to do. And we'll see if BYU could figure out a way to play some more games because they're 14th right now. They've got one game left, and the one game they have is not.
It doesn't matter. They can play Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State back-to-back, and they're not getting
in. Well, they might get it then. But you're right. I get your point. But I would still like to see them play some games. I wish the Cincinnati won. The last thing on this college football playoff that stuck out to me, once again, they like basically don't even care about the Pac-12. Like, the Pac-12 just doesn't even matter. Now, they started later than everybody else. They're going to play the least amount of games. Oregon's 15th. USC is 18th. And to be fair, Mafia, both of those teams that were supposed to be the teams that gave the Pac-12 the best chance to get into a playoff, neither have been impressive. Oregon struggled to beat UCLA on Saturday. The week before that, they played an awful first half against Washington State and then blew them out in the second half. USC struggled the first two games against Arizona State and Arizona, played a lot better, pulled away from Utah last week. But they've pretty much said those teams have no chance. Like, I think Oregon go undefeated, and they can't get high enough now to where they're going to be in the mix for one of these spots. So if I'm Larry Scott and I'm the Pac-12, and I know he tried doing it before this season, he was trying to get him to 8, even for this kind of COVID crazy year that we're having. They need to get more teams in this thing because the Pac-12 gets absolutely forgotten about every single year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that you can write them off right now. Like I said before, this year is different. It's not everyone's playing on the same schedule or doing the same thing. So I could see the committee shifting this a lot more than usual. And if, you know, one of these teams wins out, maybe they get a shot. Probably not, though, because Pac-12 is one of those conferences they always disrespect. You know, Oregon was in the title game a couple of years ago, and no one cared. You know, USC, if they were the former USC, if they were Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, USC, sure, they'd probably prop them right up there. But, you know, they've had a lot of misadventures these last couple of years and not lived up to expectations and not been the dominant beast of a program out west that they were before. I mean, there isn't anybody in the Pac-12 that I think anybody really is terrified of or scared of or, you know, follows that much. And that's probably, you know, partly the East Coast bias, and it stinks and it's not fair. But, you know, it's the same thing as kind of BYU. You got to make that noise. You got to bring the heat. You got to make us pay attention if you want to be part of this. And they've had a lot of years where people haven't really given them respect. And the one year they did, Washington got in the playoffs and they got smoked. So, you know, you want us to pay attention, you have to make us pay attention. You got to prove you're worthy of it. And they haven't done that the last, you know, 5-6 years or so, really. And it hurts them, obviously, playing the less games with everything going on. And they've had, you know, some of them, ton of cancellations, probably more than anybody else conference-wise, if we look at it, just based off the few games they've played and how many they've had to cancel. So it hurts them and it stinks, but, you know, it's a product of what's going on right now.
Yeah, and the commission selection committee chair, the great Gary Barta, who is from Iowa, stunning to see a 3-2 Iowa team show up at number 24 when their guy is the chair of the committee. He said Oregon's playing at a high level, but they haven't played or beaten a ranked team. They look forward to having them play more games to evaluate them, blah, 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 blah. Pac-12's got no shot of being involved in the college football playoff. And also, Mafia, what we were talking about at the beginning of the segment is now official. Washington and Utah will play Saturday night. It is now a Pac-12 after dark game. The awesome 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff for the West Coast game. The bailout blowout, Mafia, as I always like to call it, where you can get it all back in one swing or lose even more before your head hits the pillow. The Pac-12 after dark game on Saturday night. I know you love it too.
You gotta love it. It's those late night games, guys like us who are used to being up late, sometimes you just can't fall asleep early on a Saturday night. You need something to watch, something to pay attention to, and that's always great to place a little action on. Especially, I know you love those, you know, those late night games for sure. Those are some of your favorites. The action and the bailout blowout.
The bailout blowout with you trying to get it all back in one swing. And these things didn't really move the I was looking on FanDuel, didn't really move the futures for the champion too much. You know, they have Florida ahead of Notre Dame. No, they never give Notre Dame any respect whatsoever. They have Notre Dame fifth right now on the odds on FanDuel, 16-1. Cincinnati did move up a tick. They actually have Cincinnati now at 50-1, and they're the sixth choice. So they have Cincinnati with the same odds as Texas A&M to win the national title. So they still have Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Florida 4th at 10-1, and Notre Dame 5th at 16-1. And I'm not going to answer this because obviously I'm a little biased, Mafia. Any shot you want to take a stab with the Irish, who are number 2 in this first ranking? We know that they have to beat Clemson another time, and if they maybe lose a close game to them, would still get in. Are you worth taking a flyer on Notre Dame at 16-1 to potentially win the college football national title?
They're definitely worth a flyer. You know, it's a crazy year, and they've proven that they're a tough team, and they can definitely hang in there. And they played a great game against Clemson, so we know that they can, you know, get in there and hang with them. Because, you know, I don't care what people say about, oh, well, Trevor wasn't there. Well, they put up a whole lot of points. Trevor doesn't stop anybody, you know. Even Clemson put up a whole lot of points. It wasn't like the offense suffered because he wasn't there. It was a great back-and-forth shootout game, and you need one of those teams to come up with a defensive stop, and Notre Dame did. So don't give me that it was, you know, just him being out. I know they're missing defensive players as well. But like you've said, so was Notre Dame. They're missing players. So everybody comes in. No one's ever, you know, completely healthy and not hurt, and you have 100% of your, you know, roster from the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I think that they definitely have a shot, especially, you know, as we've kind of outlined, that there isn't much of a path of resistance until they get to Clemson. And since they have that win in their pocket, they have a good shot to get in there and a good shot to win it, you know, if they get the right matchup. I know they got to play UNC this week, but I don't trust UNC. I don't care what they did to Duke a couple weeks ago when they burned me when we were on last time hosting the show. I've watched them have some terrible games against Virginia and have some terrible games against Florida State. I'm not trust my team at all. They're, you know, they're posers. So I don't think that's going to be a tough game for them this week. I cover Notre Dame because they've had a bunch of those games where they don't cover against crappy teams, but they're going to win that one, and eventually they're going to play Clemson. And, you know, if they keep it close, they could be in the playoffs, or they should at least.
And that line's gone to -5.5 on Friday. That is a Friday afternoon game between Notre Dame at Chapel Hill against the Tar Heels. It was 3.5 for the last couple of days. It's now gone to -5.5. The Irish are favored. I'm sure tomorrow night, Mafia, we will run through some picks since we, you know, this is it. Tomorrow's kind of like a football Friday on a Wednesday, right, Mafia? We're going to have to kind of
get through. It's like a Thursday and Friday combined.
It's like a Thursday and a Friday. We've got to get through all the football games on Thursday, NFL, and there's two college games, all the college games on Friday, Saturday, and then NFL again on Sunday. So we will have a lot of games to go through, Mafia, tomorrow night when we do the bench one last time before Thanksgiving. I'm going to save the NFL, Mafia, for hour number two because I don't want to get started on it and then have to break. Are you excited for college basketball to start tomorrow? Like, it really came out of nowhere for me. Like, and we've seen in the news, the only thing I've really remember seeing in the news lately with college hoops is all these teams that keep having the COVID issues like the football's had for the past few months. But there are a good amount of games tomorrow. Now, none that are actually interesting. I mean, Clemson, Mississippi State, Boston College against Villanova. The late night game, actually, you know what, Mafia? I'm going to have to get involved in this game because it's going to be on while we're doing the show. UCLA and San Diego State. That's a decent opener tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, -3.5 for UCLA. Are you excited for college basketball? Maybe aside from just the fact that it's going to give us a lot of things to watch on these weeknights where that have been kind of bare since NBA, NHL, and MLB have ended.
Yeah, there's a good amount of games, but the amount of good games is few and far between. You know, it's weird because, like I said, it sneaks up on you. You know, this is usually a situation where you get a lot of promotion because you're going to open up with, like, you know, the Big Ten ACC tournament or, you know, a bunch of these preseason tournaments where you put actually some good games up together the first couple opening nights. And then, of course, you get the big teams going and beating up on the little ones and, you know, getting 20, 30, 40-point spreads. But usually have at least a couple good ones to open up the season. And with how screwed up everything is with COVID, you don't have that. So many teams are pulling out of tournaments. So many games are being canceled. As you said, I know I've seen all Pirates have already canceled like the first two or three games because they had to shut down their program at first with a positive test. And they're supposed to play Baylor and they've had their problems with positive tests. So I just feel like it's so screwed up. I don't know how I can get excited for it. It's even more screwed up than college football's beginning was because now we're getting the second surge of COVID and it's just decimating pretty much the whole schedule. It'll be nice to have some games and you try to get excited, but I just feel like it's going to be a messed up situation where, you know, even the teams that get going and start playing, we're just going to have so many more situations where seasons just get completely interrupted for 2-3 weeks to a month because of, you know, the virus. And they really just should have pushed it back like so many guys were talking about.
And I think that there's an opportunity here in some of these futures on college basketball because FanDuel does have all of the to win the conference regular season winner in the ACC, Big 12, SEC, et cetera. Like, you might get situations like we've had in football now the past few weeks where some of these teams might miss X amount of games, might not play the same amount of games. And some of these teams that are maybe the secondary teams in these conferences could end up winning the regular season. And the money, you know, the value's there now. You know, you've got Florida State in the ACC, plus 350. You know, they're the third choice. They're a really good team. Big 12, West Virginia, plus 500. I know Baylor's really good. Kansas is really good. But what if they have some COVID issues? I think that you got to look for some of these teams in that, you know, third or fourth to win these conferences. And there might actually, Mafia, be some decent Florida plus 900 to win the SEC. I mean, there could be some opportunities here, Mafia.
Yeah, there definitely could be. But in that same respect, there's going to be a lot of risks because, you know, you're going to play teams and say, okay, well, I come for this reason or that reason. You're going to this player or that guy. And then all of a sudden, right, you know, they're out for 2 weeks. So that's always a danger here. It's going to be a lot of opportunity, but a lot of volatility. So something that you have to watch out for. And, you know, I might cut down what I play on that from what you usually would because the risk to reward ratio is just not working in your favor with all these cancellations.
Yeah, and some of these games tomorrow, I'm trying to look through it. Purdue -9.5 against Liberty tomorrow. There's one to keep your eye on. Indiana, Scotty's Hoosiers, -21.5 for Archie Miller against Tennessee Tech, the Golden Eagles. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We wrap up hour number one right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879 to get involved. They are underway, Mafia, a Western Conference round one. Final game of the first round of the MLS playoffs. Seattle Sounders and the LA Football Club scoreless in the eighth minute. As that is our viewing pleasure here tonight on a Tuesday as we await the start of college basketball tomorrow. And we've got, of course, Turkey Day football coming up on Thursday. One more thing I just realized looking at, there's nothing else like really live to bet on right now, Mafia. So, of course, like I have the FanDuel page open, like I have to like immediately magnet to something to that I want to bet on. It's just the way that it goes. And looking at the Big East future to win the conference, I totally forgot that UConn is back in the Big East this year. UConn back in the mix where they belong. They're out of the dopey AAC, and they're in the Big East 5-1 to win the conference. Third choice. I might have to splash on UConn, Mafia, just for them being back in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new day there, and they've rebooted that program and gotten it going a lot better than it was in the year since they lost Calhoun and since they got busted for, you know, the improper things that his successor was apparently doing, and Ollie there that he always denies. But, of course, they had their issues with that. But, I mean, they're doing good with Hurley up there. They're getting back to what they used to be to a degree. And I like them kind of being back in the Big East. I miss the old Big East. That's what I grew up with. That's what I went to college with, was the old Big East with Syracuse and UConn. And, you know, even Miami was there the last in BC before the, you know, my first year in college. So, Syracuse, you know, I'm all about the old Big East. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Syracuse, Pitt, get that all back in the mix. That was the days of the old Big East.
West Virginia.
Was the best, man. Yes, West Virginia was in there for a long time in the Big East. That would be really good. And Villanova minus money to win the Big East. So there it is. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We get hour number two on the bench rolling right after this.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.